visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Oh, folks. Welcome. Hope you had a great holiday season, or should I say holiday weekend. Strap it on. No, not what you got for Christmas. Just strap it on because we're about to get after it today. We didn't get to talk about Ohio State last weekend, did we? Because it came down after we were off the air. And NFL, we're going to do something interesting today. Well, I don't know if you'll find it interesting. I do. Is that I'm going to go through as many teams as I can in the next couple hours. We'll get it in this week. Got a 4-day week, I think, isn't New Year's Eve or Friday maybe. Hell, I don't know. What's the date today? 27th? 28th? At some point this week, I get a day off again. Today's 27th. Tuesday, 28th. Wednesday, 29th. Thursday, the 3rd. I guess Friday. I'm off on Friday because it's, I think, New Year's Eve, isn't it? Is it Friday, New Year's Eve, or am I out of my darn mind? Regardless of that, we'll get in as many games, teams as we can. And we'll do it through the week. If we can get through all of them today, we will. But I'm curious. We'll go through and talk about some of the things, whether it's coaching changes, what's going on after yesterday's games. And boy, were there some atrocious games. But there were also some teams that stepped up. There are also some teams that have shocked. And if you go back to the beginning of the season, the first month, when I said some of the dumbest teams in football, it's going to hurt them when it's all done. And three of the teams that have been the dumbest and have done some silly things and have had changes and have had up and down, no matter how talented you think you are, when you start like you do, it's tough to finish. The Cowboys, the Chargers, and the Vikings, and all three of them will be sitting outside watching the playoffs. Or sitting inside, should I say, watching the playoffs just like you and I, sitting on the outside looking in. Dumb football teams don't win. Mike Singletary out. The list is going to start that list of fired coaches is going to start to grow in Cincinnati, I believe, in San Diego. These are what I believe. In San Diego, may happen in New York now. I think Tom Coughlin's a good coach. I think that may be a raw deal, but I thought they'd respond better with the Giants after that ass kicking they took from Philadelphia, and they didn't because they took another ass whooping by Green Bay. Giants, overrated apparently. Eli Manning throws it to the other team way too often. And the Giants kind of pushed out yesterday. For a team that's supposed to base their game on physicality, they got pushed around by an injured, beat-up team to get the quarterback that comes back. And Aaron Rodgers, folks, all you naysayers, and there's plenty of them out there, he's a top-five quarterback in this league. No matter how you slice it, dice it, don't care how you do it. He's a playmaker. When you combine the feet and the arm and the accuracy, there may not be a better quarterback doing all that. Roethlisberger can get out of the pocket and buy time, but he doesn't run like Aaron Rodgers does. Michael Vick, strong arm, better runner in the open field, buys more time, but is not as accurate and as pure a thrower. He's having a great season, but if you line him up as pure a thrower, he's not as good. Manning and Brady don't run. I'm talking about when you combine the whole combo, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody better than that number 12 playing in Green Bay. And that's saying something considering the quarterback. I mean, when we think about it, we only think about really two quarterbacks in the history of the Packers, Bart Starr and Brett Favre with Don Majkowski kind of mixed in there. In truth, you're going to be talking about this kid for a long time. He will be an MVP in the league. But we'll go through the teams. And we will pick and choose coach fired, not take your comments at seansouths@gmail.com. Talk about, you call me at 888-346-9144. You got about 5 days left before we give away the Super Bowl tickets for life. Find me on Twitter at SeanUnfiltered. That's Twitter at SeanUnfiltered. Tell me in 140 characters or less as to why you deserve the Super Bowl tickets. And don't get mad if you don't win. When you have 10, 15,000 entries, it's going to come down to one. And I'm really, I mean, I'll be one of the decision makers. But you know what? It may be based on emotion, maybe based on need, maybe based on a gut feel. I don't know. But don't get mad because we'll have more contests. Just because you miss out on the Super Bowl tickets for life doesn't mean there won't be more. We'll do a contest in the NBA and Major League Baseball season when that comes around. Heck, we're about 40 days or so away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Think about that. Think about that. Less than 50 days, which I love the spring. I spent a lot of time in Arizona in the spring. Love spring training. But we'll break this down, and we're, you know, in 2 hours we'll get to as much of it as we can. But it's football time, and it's playoff time, and it's now getting about nut-cutting bowl game time. So we're going to get to the NFL in a second. And, you know, prayers out to Bud Greenspan's family, one of the great filmmakers, documentary guys on the planet. Maybe the best. Maybe as good a documentary filmmaker as ever. He died complications of Parkinson's disease. He was 84 years old. Special guy. Anybody that's come across him, what a difference he's made. Some of the great, great films of all time. And, you know, obviously heavily involved with documentaries on the Olympics. And prayers and wishes out to Bud Greenspan's family. You know, in the NFL, I know there's a big snowstorm. When does snow cancel the game? Big snowstorm in Philadelphia, and I know on the East Coast getting hit, and we got to do it. But, man alive, are we still going to the wussification? I don't want anybody hurt driving or what have you. But I don't understand. We had a big snowstorm and problems in Minnesota, but they just changed the site and still went outdoors and played and everything. They didn't have a problem with that. And then the NFL a week later decides, well, we'll just move the Vikings game to Tuesday because people, the weather's too bad. I guess they couldn't get the stadium ready, couldn't get it all cleaned off. Odd. Man, we're just making it a country club atmosphere for the NFL, aren't we? If it's not perfect, we just kind of, we'll reschedule. And you know what, folks? You want to know why this sucks? If you're Minnesota, it doesn't suck. Or Dallas, who the Eagles play next week, because neither one of those two chumps are going anywhere. They can play it on Wednesday. They can play it in the parking lot. They can play it at 2 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere. All they're trying to do is wonder who's getting fired, who's getting hired, what players are coming back, and looking for a future. That's what those two teams, the Vikings and the Cowboys, are irrelevant, unless you're a Vikings or Cowboy fan. And in truth, I'm not even sure they're that relevant to those fans unless you're a diehard and a homer. People get mad when I say that, but it's true. There's no relevance to this last two games for either one of these teams other than where they select in the draft. But it matters to Philadelphia. They're battling. They got home field. I mean, they got a whole bunch of there's some things they got to deal with here, and now Philadelphia's got to push their short week. Remember, there is no Monday Night Football. This is the last Monday Night Football. There is no Monday Night Football next week. So it ain't like you can move their next game against the Cowboys Monday night, because you can't. You can't move it to Monday night. So the Eagles actually lose a couple days and you have to get ready. Fortunately for them, they hope that, you know, their bye week and the rest of it. But, you know, when you're battling for home field throughout and the rest of it, you know, they need this. They need it. So we'll talk more about the NFL bowl games coming up. Good game last night. It's a great thing about college football. Little Florida International wins their first bowl game. 34-32. Watched it. Field goal at the buzzer. It's incredible. Good for them, man. In the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit. They beat Toledo. It was a good game. Got themselves in position at the end. Kid kicks a field goal. Coach was excited. Was it Marco Cristobal? It was like bunch of six-year-olds who had their first Christmas that they can remember. It was awesome. Toys put together, and those players loved it. That's the essence. That's why we have bowl games. You can still keep those bowl games and have a playoff, folks, and that's why we need it. Now, you want to give me a break about something that's such a fraud, and here's why the NCAA continues to add to the list of the bullshit that they continue to just heap upon us. The Ohio State Buckeyes, and whether you agree with the rule, whether Ohio State's players should be allowed to take their own stuff. Now, see, I sit both ways on this one. Not, I don't sit on the fence, both ways. If I have a piece of memorabilia of myself, a shirt, a hat, Ohio State hat that I got, and I'm an athlete, why can't I go down there and give it to them to get a tattoo? I don't understand where that becomes special privileges. Okay, it's the special privilege over the guy down the street who may have, or the other student at Ohio State who may have to pay for the tat. But guess what? That student down the street wasn't good enough to be a football player, and they don't give a shit about that person because they're not a so-called local celebrity. So they get an extra benefit. So what? Is that going to help in recruiting? If an Ohio State Buckeye has his high school jersey or a piece of memorabilia or an extra one or a whatever it is that he had, let's say he went to and bought a couple jerseys of himself out of his own pocket and then went and signed one of the ones that he bought and gave it to the tattoo artist who said, oh, well, good, I'll give you a tramp stamp if that's what you want. Why is that against NC2A rules? The NC2A is an absolute, I can understand why people don't, it's like you can't even pee without them wondering if you did something wrong. Yet they're not straight across the board with their punishment. They play favorites. And Ohio State's getting played a favorite for this bowl game. And we all know it. We won't, wait a minute, the suspensions kick in, so we're just going to delay them for 6-7 months? To suspend them for the first 5 games next year? You think Pryor's coming back to play next year after this? Hell no, he's not. He's not a first-round draft pick. The kid's a decent, he's a wonderful talent. He's not a great quarterback. He's a wonderful talent. So, you know, somebody will take him somewhere. He's not a first-round pick by any stretch. He's not that polished, not that good. Talented, enormously talented. I don't know if he'll last 2 years in the league at quarterback. I don't know if he'll play. I don't know. I have a far less feeling about him as a quarterback in the league than I did about Tim Tebow. I thought Tebow should be a first-round pick and was going to be. Been saying it for 3 years and said he'll be not only a starter, but he'll be a successful starter and a winner. And we'll get to him when we get to Denver because he proved that yesterday. Oh, he can't throw. Yeah, he can. He can. No, he can't keep right. Oh, yeah, he can. He's not going to be a starter. Oh, yes, he is. Kyle Orton's days as a starter in Denver, done. Here's the difference between Tim Tebow. He wills his teams to victory. Has his whole life. Has been an overachiever when it comes to that his whole life. And he'll keep doing it because he wants to learn, wants to get better. His ego doesn't get in the way. And he's the perfect, he's like a coach's son. He's like the child you want to marry your daughter. He'll just keep plugging away and doing his thing, and they'll win. Said it 3 years ago, got laughed at. Said it 2 years ago, got laughed at. Said it last year before the draft. Somebody's going to be smart and take him in the first round. Smartest thing Josh McDaniels did before he got fired was drafting that kid. Because that kid will win. And he will start in the NFL, and he'll be a success. And all you people who put the, well, he can't throw. Yeah, he can. Have a pretty good day throwing yesterday, I think. He'll be fine. Arm strength overrated, regardless of what the Phil Simms of the world say. Accuracy and timing are far more important. And if he was that successful in the SEC, you know what, with a few polishing things and a proper coach coaching him, you don't need to make wholesale changes to his mechanics. They didn't make wholesale changes to Phillip Rivers' hitch in his throw, and he's doing quite nicely in the NFL, thank you. Just a few things. Polish it up. Like anything else, if you can't shoot free throws, shoot more free throws. If you're not a great thrower, throw more footballs. You'll become a better thrower. We'll get to Denver. Ohio State's getting favoritism, folks. It's the typical bullshit that the NC2A tries to heap on all of us, is that they pick and choose what they want to do. They delayed the Auburn problem and put it on hold, basically on hold is what they're saying. So Auburn got to play in the national title against Oregon. It's about money. They delayed any Heisman thing. He'd get it, and if he ends up having to give his Heisman trophy back, fine. But this is all about money. They don't want Ohio State out of the bowl game. They're a big draw. They travel well. So we'll delay it till next year. Why? Why can't you delay it now? Why is it that certain coaches, if a player breaks a rule, they'll suspend them for the bowl game, send them home? Yet the NC2A, we've definitely, according to the rules, even though I don't like the rules, if I want to go get a if I walk into a tattoo parlor and I'm an athlete and somebody says, oh, I'll give you a free tattoo, I love Ohio State football, can I get tickets? And the player went out and bought the tickets himself. I'm just using this as hypothetical. Went out and bought the tickets himself and come back and said, here's the tickets. I don't know, people are going to say, well, why didn't he just pay for the tattoo, probably cheaper than the tickets. Well, athletes aren't the brightest at times. Neither are you, neither am I. But if that's what he did, or he had two and he went over and handed them to him, and the guy gave him a free tattoo, what's the problem with that? Why is that illegal to recruiting and give them an unfair advantage? No, it's called that guy was a better athlete than the student was, and the student, the tattoo parlor, isn't it their choice if they want to pick and choose? So I don't agree with the NCAA rules. I think the NCAA rules are complete bullshit, and you can't live by them. The good Lord himself have trouble living by the rules of the NCAA. You walk across the street in a pair of tennis shoes that you may have paid for, they'll say, well, how much did you get those for? Well, I got them two for the price of one because that's the special going on at Dick's Sporting Goods. You sure? Well, let's put you on probation just to... Oh, no, you're Auburn, Ohio State. Let's delay that. You're Bowling Green, you're on suspension. No problem. We'll delay that. Somebody please tell me if you don't think that this is favoritism. Like I said, the NCAA rules, let's look at it. I think the NCAA rules and the NCAA is so outlandish, it's crazy. That being said, the rules are in place for whatever it is, that illegal recruiting or illegal advantages or what have you. So according to the rules, Ohio State broke them. So let's base it on that. Why aren't these guys suspended for this bowl game? Give me one good reason why they're not suspended for this bowl game. Other than the favoritism, it's Ohio State, a bowl game, and money. And I'll listen, but you can't. They're going to turn around and suspend them for five games. The priors of the world are going to leave. Tell me one good reason why the NCAA didn't suspend them for this game. It's an NCAA game. It's a bowl game. They know they did it. What's the problem? Why aren't they suspended? Exactly. Because the NCAA is a joke, folks. The NCAA is the biggest joke of any governing body, including our own government, on the planet. And the IOC and everything else. It's actually borders on embarrassment now, what the NCAA is about. Everybody knows why they're doing this for Ohio State. Ohio State knows why they're doing this for Ohio State. It just goes to show you, too, when everybody blames a coach, the NCAA likes to blame a coach for the NCAA investigation. I told you folks this, you can't babysit all these players. So Jim Tressel, it's his fault that the NCAA, that some players went down to get a tattoo and gave up, you know, goods or what have you, got a special advantage. How can you babysit them all? Why? I mean, while I think there's no doubt that what's going on in Auburn and what went on at USC, Pete Carroll knew with Reggie Bush, something that big that went on for a long time. But a one-time incident where they walk in there, when I say a one-time incident, at a tattoo parlor, I don't think the players went up and said, hey, coach, I got a free tattoo. Is that cool? Of course they didn't. So how's he supposed to police this? And it ain't like you just see a new tattoo on a player and say, oh, where'd you get that tattoo? All of them got them. All over. But if you think it's only happening at Ohio State, folks, right now when people heard what went on with Ohio State with these tattoos, you want to know how many players across the country started scrambling around and been praying they didn't get caught and went back into the tattoo parlor and said, oh, dude, don't say a word. You know how many times that happened when that came out about Ohio State? The scrambling that goes on football or basketball players on campuses all over the country? NCAA had a chance to make the right decision and suspend Terrell Pryor and these players from their bowl game, and they didn't do it. But I assure you, if it was Boise State, maybe even TCU, matter of fact, not maybe, for sure, TCU, they would have suspended them for this game. If it was Andy Dalton at TCU, he would not be playing in the TCU bowl game. In the Rose Bowl, he wouldn't be playing. He just wouldn't. He wouldn't. If it was Kellen Moore, he would not have played in their bowl game against Utah. He would not have played. He would have been suspended. And oh, by the way, folks, if you still don't believe in Boise State, then you're an idiot. Then you have absolutely no clue. If you don't think Boise State can compete with the top 6-8 teams in a playoff in this country, ask the college coaches that play against them and watch them. Any of them, from Urban Meyer right on down, he even said it. Any expert or any average football fan who doesn't see what Boise State has and that they got screwed by playing in the December 22nd bowl game and played an average game and made Utah look like a bunch of kids, then you don't know football at all. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered, talking more about Ohio State and the state of the NFL and its player, I mean, and the teams and coaches. There were some embarrassments yesterday. San Diego Chargers, you deserve what you got, and I think it's time for a new general manager and a head coach in San Diego, and I hate to say it because I love North. That football team has underachieved for way too long. We're coming back. Got 2 hours of this right here on Sean Salisbury Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award Program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
You know, it's interesting how the NCAA has been bad and gotten worse. Nobody understands, but we do understand. Everybody says they don't know why that this has happened. I think Ohio State's going to appeal this. They will appeal. That's what Athletic Director Gene Smith said. Nobody knows. People say they don't know why they're not playing, that they are playing in the bowl game, but we all know why, because the NCAA plays favorites. But if you remember back in 2004, Ohio State quarterback Troy Smith was caught taking $500 from a booster, and he was immediately suspended from the Alamo game, Bowl and the first game in 2005. I don't understand. Why the change? Well, we know why the change, because the NCAAs are a bunch of buffoons and clueless and has no idea. And that having no idea makes them the biggest mockery in team sports, period. It's actually hilarious, unless you're the person getting screwed by it. Terrell Pryor's laughing at him right now. Laughing at him. As are the rest of us. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, oh, no, they don't play favorites, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they do, and you know it. So the Sugar Bowl, I'm quite sure that the Sugar Bowl people, had they have known this was going to happen, maybe Ohio State wouldn't be there, would they? If they knew that the suspensions were going to happen in the bowl game. And I wouldn't have been surprised, what is it, the All-State Sugar Bowl? If things were going down and they all of a sudden called the Sugar Bowl people up and they said, let's NC2A, could you delay this till next year? We've got a lot invested in this. Pryor and Mallett, Arkansas and Ohio State, could you hold off? Okay. We'll do it at the beginning of next year for you. Too much money involved. You bet. You bet. You bet. And they did it. And they screwed them big time. Meaning, screwed the rest of the people who get punished immediately. But it's such favoritism, it's ridiculous. Ohio State, the model program, Tressel, nobody ever gets in trouble. Really? Well, guess what? Ohio State, we know. And you know. And the NC2A knows. But I'm not blaming Ohio State's the athletic department or anything. The players screwed up by the rules. The rules suck. They're stupid rules. But by the rules, they screwed up, and the NC2A has completely screwed the pooch by not suspending these players for the game. 888-346-9144. Bullshit, okay? I call bullshit, and the NC2A is becoming... The NC2As, you know what they are? Letterman and Leno and Conan O'Brien, they ought to just start standing up and doing stand-up. And, you know, we do that with the president or when Tiger Woods did his thing or Brett Favre or any of the stars. Why aren't we making jokes? And if they have, I haven't seen it. Well, because it was over the weekend, I guess. But why aren't they making jokes about the NC2A? Doesn't the NC2A deserve to be the butt of all jokes now? I mean, really. Yeah, they do. How about this? Now, this is something curious. I love what people do for charity. Switch to the NBA, just a change-up pitch here before we get to it. And it's big-time college basketball is about to kick in. Got the Big East opener, Pitt and UConn. Pitt and UConn. It's almost like a big Monday game. That's one of my favorite days of the week during college basketball season, Big Monday, Super Tuesday. Two of the best things ESPN does. Best thing ESPN does, that 30 for 30. Now, that's the shit, isn't it? That is unreal. Number four, number six. That's fun. Kemba Walker. I'm excited for that one. Pitt, UConn. Can't wait to tune into that. But back to the NBA before we switch to the NFL. 888-346-9144. Ron Artest is a different bird, folks. And by the way, the Lakers, something's missing. Now, they'll turn it on and off, and they've been able to turn it on and off like a light switch. But with San Antonio and with the Dallas Mavericks, don't get too comfortable, Lakers, because you're not that good. I grew up a Laker fan my whole life, and I am a Laker fan. Die hard. But the Miami Heat, who are record-wise are near the top of the league, but Boston will still run them when it matters in a seven-game series. Boston will run them, and Boston is the best team in the NBA just by defense, offense, veterans, young, especially youth, big, small, point guard. They got it all. Shooters, attitude, great coach. They got it all. Boston's the best team in the NBA. Don't care what records say. When all said and done, Boston's more than likely going to be standing in the NBA Finals, and if the Lakers don't pick it up, the Boston Celtics are going to, because matchup-wise, Lakers provide the best because they got bigs and they got a shooter and they got a score. I mean, that's the best matchup. But right now it's not, because the Los Angeles Lakers kind of just lollygagging through it. Just kind of going through the motions, because Miami Heat put it on them this past weekend. And don't tell me it was just another game, and I loved having all those games on Christmas Day. Don't tell me it was another game. It meant more to Kobe Bryant than playing Sacramento did. It meant more to LeBron James than playing the Cavaliers did, even, his old team. This game matters. The egos are big, and they want to prove that who's the best, battling with the two, you know, who's the best NBA player, who's the best team. Spoelstra wanted to beat Phil Jackson, especially after what Phil Jackson said about him and Pat Riley earlier in the year. Don't kid yourself. But there's something missing with the Lakers right now, Is it, are they fat and happy? I think Phil Jackson's going for his fourth three-peat. He wins them in bunches. Is this team a little too comfortable? They're not only not the best team in the NBA, they're not even the best team in the West. San Antonio and Dallas can both beat them right now. And one of the players, Ron Artest, now I love what people do for charity. I do. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's the book drive I was talking about, my Bring a Bird benefit, Make a Wish, Children's Hospital, whatever. Anytime you can make a difference is awesome. But here's what I don't get. Ron Artest has a championship ring. He announced the winner of a raffle for his 2009-2010 championship ring. The guy in Hawthorne won the ring in a raffle. Artest said it raised $500,000 in the raffle. The money will go to high-risk youth on mental health issues. The ring is the only one Artest has won in his pro career. He's got to give up the ring in a couple weeks. Here's what I don't get. There's ways to go about it. Now, we play pro sports to win, you get paid and the rest of it. But really deep down, many guys would give certain money, dollars back to win a championship ring or give MVP awards or whatever back. And Artest was a big part of the Lakers' run for the championship, especially in the playoffs. I understand the $500,000 to high-risk youth completely. But isn't there another way to raise it than giving away your championship ring? I know there's been people in the past that are broke and destitute, and I get it, and have to sell memorabilia to earn a living. I understand that when they're down and out, and former players that don't get insurance from the NFL, and they don't have anything, but they got championship rings, so you got to hawk them and sell them, and it's sad, but it happens for survival. Artest is making a whole bunch of money. Now, maybe this is part of the Lakers' attitude? Not for the charity. Like I said, I'm all about the charity. Is this part of the Lakers' attitude? Oh, we won one, I'll win another. No big deal. Is that what this is? That Artest, it's his only championship ring. I understand if he has six. I still wouldn't do a charity for a championship ring if I had 20. Those are special. I would do some other kind of charity for a raffle. Maybe, say, get a weekend with Ron Artest, or Artest will pay for, give you tickets to every, to the NBA Finals, and then let's win a raffle, and you get courtside seats that the Lakers are going to donate for the NBA, whatever. You'd still raise a lot of money that way. Or dig into your own pocket and say, for every dollar I match, put it out there for your NBA friends. Say, I'll give $100,000, and maybe some of my guys will start to match it. And you could probably raise $500,000 even faster that way. People like it. Ron Artest is different, but you got a big fraternity in the NBA. You can go out and raise a charity, a lot of money, a lot of different ways. But giving up a championship ring? The sense of it, like I said, if it was the end of his career was over and he was destined, no, but he's making a lot of money. And you know what? It's your high-risk, program for youth. Of course, make a difference. But your only championship ring? You're going to raffle that off? Doesn't that mean something to you? I like the charity. I don't understand the means of going about getting the money. There's got to be another way to raise $500,000 if you're Ron Artest than giving away your only championship ring and may be your only one. I found that to be a little odd. I love what he's doing. It just shows that Ron cares. It shows me that he cares. He cares. He's got his XL University and high-risk youth on mental health issues, and there's a lot of problems going on. But I probably, with his connections and the rest of it and all the money in Los Angeles, probably raise $500,000 easier than a raffle to give away your only championship ring. And I'm not being insensitive. I'm all for the charity. I'd have donated money for him. I don't understand the way he went about it with his only championship ring. May sound selfish. I'm not auctioning off my championship ring. I'd rather give elbow grease or money than give my championship ring away if I had one, if I was him. Hell, even if you're Phil Jackson with, 11 of them, whatever many he's got, I'm not auctioning off a championship ring. Those are all mine. A lot of hard-earned things. I'll raise $500,000 20 times more doing something else than I will giving my championship ring away. I don't get it. I get the charity. I don't get the means in which he went about raising. Don't understand it. But you know what? That's Ron. Beats to a different drum. And always will. Well, folks, I got some news for you, and it'll be announced soon. My television show that I'm doing, the Inside Sports Show, that I told you coming out in January, well, I think we're changing the name of the show, and we're going to call it Sean Salisbury Unfiltered for TV, which is pretty exciting. Found that out last night. They decided to go better that way. They want to take what I do on this show and make it like an hour-long television show and do it that way. It won't be a simulcast. I'll still do the radio this way. Hopefully that will be on the Internet soon. But I'm going to take my Sean Salisbury Unfiltered brand, and instead of call it Inside Sports, we're going to make the show that I was doing, a little bit of, you know, the comedic sense, but also hardcore sports, and do it for TV. So that's what's going to be out there, which I'm excited about, among a few other things that are going on in the football world for me and in the, you know, a lot of things coming up in early January, and by the middle of January, decisions that have to be made and the rest of it. So I'm excited. I just figured I'd throw that out there because I kind of like the idea of, while it was going to be a different name than Unfiltered, but they decided, the production people decided that we'd rather go about it that way, and that kind of excites me because it allows me to do what I do here on a television network and get people fired up and get in their face. It's my dream job, at least one of them. I guess we all have three or four. My dream job will be to be a drummer, but that's okay. I'm trying to think what band I'd like to be a drummer in, who I'd like to do it with. Not going to happen anytime soon. I think I'll stick to my day job. We all want to be something we're not. Talking about the NFL, going all the way back to the Cowboys-Arizona game, that was the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I don't think the players get it at times. I really don't. You know, you're getting your ass kicked. You're playing on national TV. You've broke a few rules on the team this year already. You've been injured. You're a good football player. But a little thing, and here's why the little things cause big problems. When Marion Barber scores a touchdown, getting excited is one thing. But you're getting excited against a team that, it's not like, I mean, it was the Arizona Cardinals. You're in the fight of your life against the Arizona Cardinals on a fourth quarterback who was not going to even make the team if they don't trade. He wouldn't even been on the team if Matt Leinart was still there. With Max Hall and Derek Anderson, this kid wouldn't have been on the team. You got beat by your fourth quarterback from Fordham. You got, and you're going to take your helmet off and celebrate and go crazy like you just won a Super Bowl. I love celebrating and I love getting excited, but there's a time and a place for it. Just dumb football. Just dumb. And I don't know how many more times Miles Austin is going to slip or drop passes, but as I said when they drafted Dez Bryant, I'll say it now, Miles Austin immediately became the second best receiver on that team and still is. At the top of the league in drop passes, got a new contract, bam. He still had a decent season. And don't tell me he'd had a more spectacular season with Romo. Maybe he'd had a little bit better season. But you know what? Kitna hasn't been far off what Romo did. Miles Austin got to step his game up. Running game, offensive line. Good docket, just completely abused Colombo. Dallas Cowboys, and I hear people say, well, get a coach in there. And we'll be right back where we want to be. No, Jason Garrett deserves the first look. The Dallas Cowboys have one. Name me three beautiful strengths on their team. The quarterback, he's a regular season strength, I guess. Tony is a fantasy numbers. He's not a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's just not. Offensive line sucks. Linebackers suck. Secondary sucks. I put DeMarcus Ware in that defensive end linebacker. He's your best defensive player. Defensive line underachieved this year. Running backs, Julius Jones, said they don't even know who they want to play. Choice, Jones, Barber. Barber will be gone after this year. Tight end strength, and if Phillips comes back, strong point, because Bennett's a third tight end, not a second. Wide receivers is a strong point when Dez Bryant's healthy. Still drop too many passes, Roy and Miles Austin do. Special teams. Has some great moments and has some really bad moments. But with Dez back there, they got a chance to do something, and Joe DeCamillis is a good coach. So where's their strengths? They're not as talented as you remember me saying on the show in August. This team's not as talented or as good as you think. Not only are they not going to the Super Bowl, they may be selling sodas and beers in the arena, in the stadium for the two Super Bowl teams that are there. So we're going to roll down these football teams now. Will there be a coaching change when we go down them? What the deal is on their roster? And why they've got to this point? We're going to do that here as we get hardcore football. Still tripping over Ron Artest giving away his only championship ring. I love the charity. I don't understand the means to raise the money. College football, Ohio State, they played them favorites because the Sugar Bowl wasn't going to have any part of it. So the NC2A, once again, with an opportunity to do the right thing, gave the rest of the teams a big old one right in the booty. So we're going to get in the NFL's ass now and go through it hardcore. 888-346-9144. Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, I believe, is coming to TV as well. We'll be right back. We still got a ways to go right here on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Up goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. We got ourselves a good hour and 10 minutes so we can get rolling on this NFL stuff. Let's start out west. Let's start out west in what is the most embarrassing division in all of sports. But congratulations so far to the Rams. And you know what? Are we still looking at a possible that the Seahawks can make the playoffs? Come on, guys. Come on. The Seahawks, the Rams, come on. Come on. I just, you know what, I'm proud of the Rams and what Sam Bradford's done. But it just, you know what, don't get me started on the West again. I just think it's a bit, it borders on humiliating that we're actually putting one of these teams in. But hey, it is what it is, and under the rules, I'll be shocked if one of these teams in the West even sniff a playoff win. So let's go through the West. The state of the West, starting with the St. Louis Rams. Well, they're 7-8. They play, let's see, at Seattle in the Sunday night game next week. So the worst division gets Sunday night football, but playoffs are on the line. So they have a huge game next week. But the state of the Rams says this. Quarterback to build on. A running back that's a full-grown man in Steve Jackson. A bunch of guys at wide receiver, for the most part, that you've never heard of, that a good quarterback makes them better players. And I really, really like that. Something building on. Something to take to the next level. And the change from getting the first pick last, the number one overall pick last year, to a possible 8-win season, that's a hell of a turnaround. Although the West sucks, that's one hell of a turnaround. And you know what? We got to consider Steve Spagnuolo, not just Raheem Morris and Todd Haley as coach of the year. Both of those had far more to work with than did Steve Spagnuolo. Steve's finally starting to get his thing going after being the winning defensive coordinator for the Rams in the Super Bowl. I like what the Rams are doing, and I think that this team's going to be really good for a while because it all starts with one guy, and the one guy is a hell of a quarterback. What a draft pick. Didn't think he'd be this good this fast, and you didn't either. Sooner fans may have thought it, but even they didn't. After he got hurt against BYU early in the season, what an unbelievable, in his college season, what an unbelievable turnaround for Sam Bradford. Unbelievable, and for the Rams franchise. Didn't think he, I thought he'd be a good player. Didn't think he'd be a superstar, and I sure as heck didn't think he'd be a superstar this fast. Sam Bradford's one hell of a player. They're building on something. The Seattle Seahawks. Gonna eventually, Matt Hasselbeck gets hurt again. They're gonna have to make a quarterback change in the future. Pete Carroll realizes, as he should have before after being in it, that Seattle ain't USC, and that's gonna be hard to build it fast, because you don't get 20 scholarship, 18 scholarship, first-round picks at a high-profile university like SC, you get normally one first-round pick a year. So it's got to start at the quarterback position. They're not sure what they got. JP, Charlie Whitehurst, that they paid good money to trade for from the San Diego Chargers, but don't know if Charlie can play. Maybe he can. Been on the bench long enough when he was behind Phillip Rivers. And as a third guy, for the most part, and Matt Hasselbeck's been beat up and that. I don't know. Now, they may keep Matt at a lesser salary, but I don't see Matt as their quarterback in 2011, unless there's some off season where they don't get something done. But they've put together a coaching staff. It is Seattle's first year with Pete Carroll. They've got to learn how to win on the road, and they've got to learn how to keep games closer so they have a chance to win in the end. Defense has its moments. They have their moments. But they've got a lot of places to go in Seattle. They've got to get a lot better. They get the greatest thing the Seahawks have going right now is their fans. The 12th man's amazing in Seattle. But Seattle's got to prove that they can go on the road like to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team and actually show up and play. Because yesterday, they did not show up. They did not play. They got hammered and were humiliated in Tampa. It was embarrassing. And if I'm the NFL, NFC, I'm praying that Seattle beats St. Louis, or Seattle can get in, because, excuse me, if St. Louis beats Seattle, because although St. Louis is a better team, I believe, just by chance, you get the rain, get the craziness, you don't want to have to go in and risk a stupid, the elements or something coming to play, and those great fans in Seattle losing a game in the first round of the playoffs to a team that has no business beating you. Seattle's got to start, and they've got to decide who their quarterback is for the future, and they've got to be more consistent offensively. And they got to learn how to win on the road. San Francisco, all hell's breaking loose, but you know what? That will not take long to fix. Will not take long to fix. Troy Smith, good quarterback, don't believe he's the future. Alex Smith, I think when you're the first pick of the draft, we expected, but not think, I know we've expected more by now. In one defense of Alex Smith, he, and Troy Smith's a fiery guy. You saw him in Singletary battle on the sidelines yesterday. Troy Smith's a fiery, competitive guy, but he's not the long-term answer as a star in this league at that position. Probably a good backup that can come off the bench and spell you and give you some games, some starts. Alex Smith, jury's still out, but I don't know how long we keep saying it, folks. In defense of Alex Smith, he's had 100 different coaches while he's been there. Hasn't been able to settle in, and once again, they're going to have a new staff. A whole new staff. But I don't think the quarterback of the future for their best years ahead, I don't think he's on the roster. I think the San Francisco 49ers have to go out and make a pitch for a guy like Donovan McNabb. Need to go out and make a pitch for some backup quarterback somewhere. Maybe Carson Palmer is going to be available. Maybe. Don't think Ocho Cinco. We'll get to them. We'll get to Cincinnati. Maybe Carson Palmer is available. But you got to go out and find a guy or somebody who's backed up. Kevin Cobb, another one. Maybe you make a play for Kevin Cobb. Because it's obvious that Michael Vick's their quarterback, and they're not going to keep Cobb. You can get too much for Cobb right now early in his career. So the 49ers, I don't believe their starting quarterback in 2011 is sitting on their roster at this very moment. Now, they may keep a guy like Alex Smith or Troy Smith to start for a year and then go draft a guy like Ryan Mallett or somebody like that in the draft. Could happen. And if they do, that rookie will end up starting in his rookie year. They get a guy like him or Jake Locker, depending on where the 49ers are going to end up drafting. But when you look at Crabtree, at Patrick Willis, at Frank Gore when healthy, they've got some really good young players on that team. It should not take long to fix. Matter of fact, the York fans, too bad the DeBartolos aren't still there and Carmen Policy, because that organization would already be fixed. But they've got to find a new front office GM. They've got to find a guy who understands football. They've got to get a coach, and not the same guy, not a coach and a GM that's the same guy. You got to get two, a GM and a coach that understands. And the York family, man, I wish the DeBartolos would come back and buy it, because that proud franchise sucks ass, and it's embarrassing. And you know what? The Raiders are a better franchise now. Now, you tell me, now think about this. The dysfunctional Al Davis Oakland Raiders are a better team and franchise right now. When is the last time you thought that you'd rather be an Oakland Raider in the Oakland Raider organization than the 49er organization? Been a while with what's going on in Oakland. But that's what's going on in San Francisco now. Clueless front office and management and ownership. Clueless. And they don't get enough credit for bringing the 49ers franchise down. Coach after coach after coach. It's crazy. And it's too bad, because the San Francisco 49ers, I'm sure Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and all, matter of fact, if they had any sense, that's where they'd go. They'd go talk to Ronnie, who's in the financial business, and they'd go talk to Ronnie Lott about being their GM. Or Dwight Clark. Go talk to one of those guys. Get them in there, who get it, who understand winning, because winning and losing are both habitual, folks. And the 49ers know how to lose. Start getting a presence around that organization again. The starting quarterback for the 49ers in 2011, at least, or the guy that's going to lead you back to the promised land, is not on the roster. Just not. Arizona, love Ken Wisenhunt, love Russ Grimm, the offensive line coach. I don't think they're far off. it just goes to show you how important about two players are. Carlos Dansby at linebacker in Miami and Kurt Warner, quarterback. Look at how quickly the grade has fallen. You lose your quarterback, your team goes to shit. And you're going to tell me that's not the most important position in all of sports anywhere? It is. It is. Warner goes, no shot. They don't want four extra games. The division would have been theirs 2 weeks ago if Warner was on their team. And Kurt's a better quarterback than he is a broadcaster. The Arizona Cardinals have won the division if Kurt Warner's their quarterback. Period. St. Louis and the game with St. Louis and Seattle wouldn't mean shit next week if it wasn't for Kurt Warner's retirement. The team needs more than that, but it's amazing how everything just kind of falls into place when you have a quarterback that can play. Ask St. Louis with their rookie. So Arizona, the feel for Arizona is, while they're not far off either, it's in Arizona. Heck, what a great place to be, a great place to live. Should be a nice place for free agents. They're going to go out and get a quarterback too. If Carson Palmer, Donovan McNabb are available, they will also be in that sweepstakes. So while how the West was won is going to be an 8-8 or 7-9 record. Three teams in that division next year. Three teams. We'll have different starting quarterbacks than they did when the season opened, more than likely, in 2011. And that right there tells you why this division sucks. If you got to replace three starting quarterbacks, that means three teams weren't very good. The team with the fastest growth is the team with the best quarterback, St. Louis. The other three teams will scramble around. Ken Whisenhunt can coach. 49ers should go get a coach. Since Mike Singletary's gone, let's focus. Whisenhunt will keep his job. Pete Carroll keeps his. Steve Spagnuolo keeps his. Mike Singletary's out, interim coach for a game. Then they're going to go out, and you're going to hear all the names. And they're going to have to go get in. You'll hear Jim Harbaugh's name right down the street from Stanford. Will Harbaugh have the guts to leave Stanford and go? I think that'll also have a play on what Andrew Luck does, who's going to be the first pick of the draft if he leaves. The 49ers are going to offer Jim Harbaugh the job. We all know that. But depending on what happens in Michigan, they're going to offer him the job. And there will be a couple other teams that are going to offer Jim Harbaugh the job. You tell me. Better chance to win a national championship at Stanford, or better chance to get a team back and be a playoff team and win a Super Bowl in San Francisco? Where are his chances? With Andrew Luck, immediately at Stanford. But one thing you know about college football is that eventually that guy's going to leave. And San Francisco may have a little more time. The truth is the 49ers don't need to look any further than a couple miles down the road in Palo Alto, California, to get their new head coach. Now, whether Jim decides to take it or not is on Jim. But you don't have to look far. Fiery, yes, but not overboard fiery like Singletary. Now, I love Mike, played against him. The problem with Mike is that Mike has taken his emotions on the field and carried them right to the sidelines without keeping them in check. Mike still coaches like he played, which is okay. But even Mike Ditka's of the world and even those guys that are fighting, you've got to make some adjustments. And coaches that are too emotional or too wound tight don't win in this league. There's got to be, and I don't mean you let people walk on you and be a doormat, but there's got to be some flexibility. And unfortunately, I don't think Mike has it yet. His second time around, Singletary will be better. Mike will be better. Now, his attitude works perfect as an assistant coach. I played with assistant. You know, every team's got that one coach that's in your face cussing you out, although Mike's not a cusser. Cussing you out, he's a spiritual guy and a God, you know, God-fearing man. But Mike gets in your face. Every team has had one. Every team I've ever played on has one, at least one, of those type of coaches. But you sure as hell better have a balance with the rest of the staff. Players can't play out of fear. They can play out of respectful fear, but not out of fear for their lives and their jobs every single time they line up where they're afraid to make a mistake, and that's 49ers. Make one mistake, boom, Mike's down your throat. Now, Mike can also be the most gentle, loving guy, too. Not a huge grudge holder. Mike isn't. You know, he and Troy got into it. Even though he's out of a job, said, hey, it's fire. We both want to win. And good coaches, that's one that Mike understands. Mike was a player. But Mike's next time around, and he'll have another chance to be a head coach, is he's got to be able to take a step back and say, okay, I'm a little too harsh. We've all been a little too harsh in anything we've done. But when you're dealing with athletes, you have to be firm, but you also have to have them trust you. And I don't think that they, it's like the, oh my gosh, if I go tell Mike, am I going to get in major trouble? You know, and you want to have it to where, well, I'm going to go tell Mike, I may get in trouble, get my hand slapped, but I know he has my back. And I think the people are afraid of that. Mike understands team chemistry and what it takes. Hell, I think Mike looking at his body and looking at the fire, Mike may be able to line up and still play. But there's a different mentality that goes with the coach. In your face, yes. Get your players, yes. But you do, you criticize them behind closed doors. Mike is so emotional that he can't hold it in that he throws people under the bus out for God and the world to see. And as a head coach, you just can't do it. Just like as a quarterback, when you throw in a guy drops the ball, you can't be waving your arms and running down the field and blaming them for the fans to see. You take them aside, you have your disagreement, or you tell them why. And if you want to cuss each other out in the locker room after, go for it. That's okay. Do what you want to do. That's called being a pro. But you do it in private. You don't do what Vince Young did to Jeff Fisher. And Mike, I think, Mike, like a lot of good coaches, second time around will be better. Mike needs to take a chill pill. Really, let's call it, as your kid would say, take a chill pill, take a step back. You had a great opportunity. It didn't work in San Francisco. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that certain positions, you don't have great players. There's been some injuries, but they expected more. So Mike's out. You don't have to look any further down the road. Now, I don't know if they're going to hire Harbaugh, but my first guy I'd interview, I'd go right down to Stanford's campus, and I'd done it today. Really can't do it today because Jim's getting his team ready for a huge bowl game. But his agent's already been called if I'm the 49ers. And Gruden, I'm sure John would have a big interest in that. I don't know if Bill Cowher would. I don't know about Tony Dungy. I don't know. And there'll be some coordinators, Rob Ryan in Cleveland, who I love. But I think that if you really want to get a great candidate, go take Jim Harbaugh, who knows the NFL. He teaches an NFL game in college. Question is, will he leave Stanford? But he'd be my first choice if I was San Francisco. We're coming back. Change divisions, 888-346-9144. St. Louis and Seattle playing. It's either going to be 8-8 that wins it or 7-9 that wins the division. Wow. Playoffs are in a couple weeks, folks. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're coming right back to finish up this next hour.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, and another gig, folks. Another job that may come available. I mean, another person that may come available you might want to jump on and consider, and I think a lot of teams will, is I don't think this Jeff Fisher situation is going to be fixed real good in Tennessee. Because if Bud Adams, the owner, is as big a dumbass as I know he is and think he is, as an owner, not as a person, as an owner, and a bit of senility to be sitting in with him, if he's that crazy to let Jeff Fisher go for Vince Young or anybody else, then Jeff ought to leave, and the 49ers would call Jeff Fisher too. Because he would be, sorry about that, drinking my rock star right now. Jeff Fisher would be, in my mind, say what you want. I'm not so sure that of all the coaches available, Super Bowls or not, when Jeff Fisher walks away from Tennessee, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't consider him my number one candidate. If I was a general manager, I'd interview him before Dungy, Cowher, or Gruden. Although Bill would be close. For me, it'd be Fisher, Bill Cowher, then Dungy and John in that same group also. All of them great. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers interviewed Steve Mariucci. Why not go back to when you were pretty good? Why not? Why not? And once a coach, always a coach. Believe me, Steve can still coach whether he wants to or not is up to him. So we've got that. One coach will be available for that division, and it'll happen sooner than later. Let's go to the NFC East. Philadelphia Eagles battling for it all. Great situation. They are set in a lot of positions. They'll do what they always do. They'll get rid of some aging veterans in the offseason. Draft well, sign the players they want, give Michael Vick a whole lot of money, make sure Macklin and DeSean Jackson are healthy and taken care of, got LeSean McCoy, they'll continue to shore up offensive line and defense, Andy Reid will still be there, he's a constant, the front office will make great choices in the offseason, they'll trade Kevin Cobb for a high draft pick, or two draft picks, they'll trade him to a desperate team, and they'll continue to get better. The Philadelphia Eagles aren't going away. At 10-4, they're going to end up 12-4 because they're going to beat the Vikings like a drum, and then they're going to beat the Cowboys like two drums, and so they're going to end up 12-4 with no problem and an MVP candidate on their team, and Michael Vick's only going to get better. So the Eagles, they're not a whole lot to fix, folks. Not a whole lot to fix. They're only going to get better, which is scary, and they're going to accumulate more draft picks with the trade of Kevin Cobb sooner than later. The New York Giants, this is the only coach of the ones that I think it could happen. I sit on the fence. I like Tom Coughlin's ability to fix, and I think Tom's a hell of a head coach, but has it run its course? The thing that shocks me the most is how this team quit. They quit. They took a beating, and with a bunch of veterans, I said on this show last week, I'd be shocked, or maybe it wasn't on this show, maybe it was on a show I did an interview with somebody, where I said I'd be shocked if the Giants didn't respond, because on a younger team that hasn't been through this and is inexperienced, I would say, you know what? That Philadelphia beatdown at the end in the last 7-8 minutes will haunt them. But I thought with a veteran coach who's been chastised before, a quarterback who's bounced back from this stuff, a defense that's been told they sucked in times past and as early as the beginning of this year, you know, a running game where Brandon Jacobs was questioned last year, a running game where Bradshaw can't keep the ball in his hands, you'd think that they'd respond because these veterans have been there. Been there. And I know Steve Smith hurt. Give me all the excuses you want. I don't need them. Okay? If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. If. This is a veteran team that should know better than to allow it to fester. And they did. And that starts with the coach, although I don't need motivational speeches to tell me how damn important it is to win a football game. As a pro, I don't need Tom Coughlin to sit in the locker room before we line up against Green Bay to reiterate to me how important walking out of the locker room is to get a win and give an ass whooping back after Philadelphia humiliated us and pillaged us in front of our wives and girlfriends and daughters, or wives and girlfriends both, whatever it is player has, and basically came in and took our and completely ripped our self-esteem and self-worth right out of our pocket and took it out of our heart and fed us it. What the Eagles did to the Giants last week. In the first three quarters of that game, everybody's saying, I read tweets on Twitter, and in Facebook that said, oh man, Andy Reid, I can't believe him, blame Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, get loose. That's how quick that they turned it. And I'm shocked that a veteran team like the Giants, I can understand, look what's happening with the Houston Texans. A bunch of young guys that are clueless. That's why they wilt. So this is a Giants team that's been down this road before. And they flat-ass took an ass-whooping. Part of it's on the coach, but you know it's on the players too. They looked disinterested the last 7 minutes of last week, and this ass-kicking brutal that Aaron Rodgers put on them to the tune of 400. Hello, here's a brat and a beer. Thanks for coming. We whooped your ass. Go home. And that's what they did. That's what they did. So Tom Coughlin, I know, can get this going again. The quarterback's not going anywhere. Eli, although he's thrown as many touchdown passes as he's ever thrown, he's also thrown more picks than he's ever thrown. And that outweighs when you've hit the 20 mark in interceptions, you're not having a real good year. They're still physical. Offensive line got pushed around more than they should have. And defense gives up way too many big plays. There's some things that need to change there. Perry Fuel, they got a good defensive coordinator. Kevin Gilbride's a good offensive coordinator. And no, folks, he ain't going to be a head coach. I've been in that situation with Kevin before. Kevin's not a head coach. Kevin's going to be he's been a head coach before. It didn't last long. He's a lifetime assistant, unless he wants to go to a smaller university and be a head coach. He's a lifetime offensive coordinator and a good one, a very good one. But he's not going to get hired as a head coach. Now, will he keep that job if they change? No, somebody else will hire Kevin. So it's not like he's going to leave and Tom Coughlin's going to leave and Kevin's going to get that job. Hell no. They'd call Bill Cowher first. My gut tells me that Tom Coughlin's out. I don't know if it's the right decision. Everybody in New York's going to kill Coughlin today. I don't know if it's the right decision. But I would hire Tom Coughlin somewhere else because he can go in and change things. Tom Coughlin's a good football coach. My gut says he's out. And if they could get Bill Cowher, and New York is on Bill Cowher's wish list, if they could get Bill Cowher, and see, that's the type of program you want to take over for. You don't want to take over with the chore that Steve Spagnuolo, who'd never been a head coach, the chore that Spagnuolo had of taking over St. Louis and hoping for things, going 1-15, saying, what the hell have I done? But it's his first opportunity. Ego says, I want to try to fix the team, and he has him with a chance to go 8-8, a seven-win turnaround. So when Spagnuolo left the Giants, you know, you're taking the first opportunity that comes your way as a head coach because you don't know when it's going to pass your way again. But when you've already been there, Bill Cowher's turned down a 50 jobs since he retired. So he will have his pick of the litter. So that's what it is. Bill doesn't have to take the St. Louis Cardinals type of job or a 49er type of job or a Carolina Panther job. He doesn't have to take that. Bill can wait for a team that's really good but underachieved. Or, like Mike Tomlin getting Bill Cowher's job, you get a Super Bowl caliber team, and you get tired, and you want to move on, and so you're burned out, so you walk away from the job to go into the television studio, and Mike Tomlin's sitting in a catbird seat in a perfect position to come over from Minnesota and be the head coach for a team that's got Super Bowl aspirations the next year. That's the ideal situation for a head coach. And that's what the Giants situation is. A player or two and an ass-kicking away from being right back in the playoffs and being a Super Bowl contender. Although at the beginning of the year, people thought they'd be down. People thought they'd be down. Plaxico Burress, young team, don't know, quarterback, what's going on here? Coordinate, I mean, the whole thing. Well, they turned it around and had an unbelievable shot and screwed the pooch. But that's the job you want. New York, great ownership, unbelievable fan base, all the pub you want, all the pressure that goes with it, which is awesome. If you don't like pressure, then you're in the wrong business. That's the job you want. So my gut tells me Coughlin's out. And if Bill Cowher gets offered the job, wouldn't shock me if he takes it. $8-9 million a year right there won't shock me. They can pay it, and Cowher be jumping into a situation that says, damn, I sat in the booth for 3 years, and now I got this. Oh. While the pressure's in New York, if you can't win 10 games with that team, then you shouldn't have a job. My gut tells me New York's going to need a coach. Washington, you know what? That's a cluster, you know what. That's nothing but a bunch of yahoos trying to get shit done right on down from the owner right on down to the bottom line. Players don't like players. Coaches can't stand players. Players don't respect the coaches. The coaches protect their coaches. The player coaches don't protect their players. Benching, embarrassing your starting quarterback, starting a guy who, you know, while he's what? He's 2-0, is that what it is? Is he 2-0 now? Or is he 1-1, whatever? Rex Grossman, save it. Please don't tell me that you think he's a star. Rex is a backup. No, Mike doesn't look like a genius, okay? He doesn't look like a genius. He's far from it. He's a genius with John Elway. He gets fired with Sean Salisbury as his coach, as his quarterback. Not with me as his coordinator, but with me as his quarterback. Okay, so don't give me this. I mean, they beat Jacksonville, which is a big win and a huge loss for Jacksonville. But the Redskins, and I'll finish more on the Redskins when we come back from this, because you want to talk about dysfunction. But Shanahan's not losing his job after the year. He already set that up to get rid of Albert Haynesworth and to do what he's doing to McNabb. He set it up for the blame on everybody else. The respect for Mike Shanahan has waned in a lot of places, folks. Analysts, experts, coaches, players. You better realize now that doggone candle's burning at both ends, and he better fix it. We'll come back and finish up the NFC East. We'll probably get through the NFC today. I don't know if we'll get to the AFC, but we'll do that tomorrow. Changes, coaching changes, what rosters need to do, and why the teams suck or why they're good. See, we went through Philadelphia fast. Didn't need much. Good teams don't need much. There's a consistency in that organization. As big a consistency in that organization as there is inconsistency with the laugh that is the Redskins. Fans, you deserve better in D.C. and in Virginia and in Maryland. It's a bad franchise right now. We're coming back. Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
I'm going to get out to D-Man in Arizona real quick in just a second. Again, Ron Artest auctioned off his ring, a raffle, $500,000, his only championship ring. I love the charity of helping, you know, basically wayward kids with mental issues that are high-risk youth. I think it's great. I think it's great, but I don't understand why that was the route he took in raising the money. With the fraternity of people he knows and the rest of it, his only championship ring, I'm sorry, I'll raise the money and give you elbow grease, do everything I can to raise twice that kind of money, but it's not for my championship ring. It's just not. College football, we know Ohio State got a special advantage. And the NC2A is putting them on guys on four or five guys on, you know, going to miss the first five games the next season. Pryor's going to leave school anyway, so it's not going to affect him. He gets to play in the bowl game. Favoritism by the Sugar Bowl and the NC2A, it's a joke, and we know it. Bottom line is the rules are way too out of hand. Laws were made not to be broken. Rules were made to be broken. And if you set too many rules, and I'm talking about frivolous bullshit rules, they're going to get broke. So the rules suck in the NC2A. That being said, if the rules are set, you got to follow them. Ohio State didn't, but they get a special hall pass because they're Ohio State for the Sugar Bowl. We broke it down. We went through the NFC West about changes and good and bad of all the teams there. Only one team will have – three teams will have new starting quarterbacks in 2011. One team will have a new coach. And that'll be San Francisco. The only team that actually has something that they're not going to have a new coach and a quarterback in that division is the Rams. We're on the NFC East. I'll finish that in just a second. We're talking about the Redskins. Already gone over Philadelphia and the Giants. We'll hit the Redskins and the Cowboys, two teams that are major dysfunction right now. I'll finish up the Redskins, but let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. Hope your Christmas holiday was good, my man. Good to have you on. What's up?
It was good, my brother. How was yours?
You know what? It was spectacular, just relaxed. Well, when I say spectacular, I wasn't, for some reason, for the first time in 47 years, I wasn't in the spirit. But you know what? Maybe it's because your kids are growing up a little bit more and you're focused on some new things. 2010 was a bit of a rough year, but you know what? I use that. It's still Christmas. I understand the true meaning of Christmas. So it was fine. It was good. But I'm excited about the new year and excited about it all and excited for 2011. And good to be here, my man, and excited about the new television show, excited about a few things I can't talk about, but life's good. So what's going on with you?
Not much, my man. I just really want to chime in on what you're talking about because, like I said last week, this is a great topic to really start speaking on right now. But San Francisco jumps the gun, and they just blast Mike Singletary. They won't even let him coach the last game. So
which
how dysfunctional was that?
Which is not dumb.
Even the last game?
Yeah, which is dumb. And, D-Man, you make a great point. Is what purpose does it serve? Basically, you know what it's like doing? It's like taking your starting quarterback out in a game when you're winning and there's like 28 seconds to go and you're going to let the backup come in and take a knee and kneel down for the final play. That's basically what you've done to the assistant coach that's taken over. Hell, I don't even remember the guy's name. Who's taking over? It's one of the assistant coaches. I didn't even look. Oh, Jim, defensive line coach, Jim Tomsula. He's taking over for one game. He can't prove anything or disprove anything. And you're running Singletary out the door? Give me a break. Okay, that's another part of the dysfunction that is the York family and the 49er family, is that how stupid are they to think that firing somebody now matters? You're in bowl week, so you can't hire a coach that's in a bowl game right now. The NFL's finishing up their final game. You couldn't wait 5 days? You couldn't have waited 5 days to let in. It's a slap in the face to Mike, whether you're going to fire him or not. But what purpose does it serve So if you're the defensive line coach, you're saying, hey, thanks for the kneel down.
I was like two or whatever. You couldn't fight him then and give yourself an opportunity to make a playoff? You're going to wait till you're completely out of the playoffs with one game left, and the guy didn't even land in San Francisco, and guess what? You're fired.
Yeah, if you're going to make the decision, make it when you're 0-5 or when your team sucks or the last month of the season, so at least we can see if Leslie Frazier and Jason Garrett are any good for the team in the future. But one game means nothing. And the defensive line coach also knows he's a lame duck. He's not getting rehired. He's out of a job, too. All he's doing is extending their contracts for 1 week before everybody on that staff gets fired. Simple.
You're all gone. That's exactly what that tells you. You are all gone. As a matter of fact, I'm getting rid of the head first. But you four or five, the rest of you, are going to hang out in this misery for the one final game, and then I'm going to kick you out.
Yeah, so start packing your offices now. And now, if you're a head coach on that team, if you're an assistant coach on that team, you know what you're doing all week long? You're making calls to every other coach that may have an opening job. You're doing everything you can because you know you're not going to be there. So you're sitting there saying, okay, I got to focus on a game plan, but damn, I got a family to feed. So we already know he's being fired. At least with the last month of the season, you could have made an impact somewhere else. I mean, on the team, but you could have said, okay, we got a new coach. Maybe this new coach will get hired now, our interim coach, and he'll keep us on staff. But with one game to go, you know you're all lame ducks. You're all done. You got no shot. You're going to the last game of the season. Your playoff hopes are over. Your head coach is fired. Basically, you're sitting there saying, damn, they just bent us over our desk, hammered a big one inside us, and now we got to go find another job for our families. So really, how good is the game plan going to be for the 49ers this week?
Oh, man? Gosh, this is going to be crazy. Now, listen, you know who I really got to give some props to? Really got to give some props to Troy Smith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen that guy act like that. And I've read a lot about Troy Smith. I know he's a nice, Christian, soft-spoken guy. But did you see him and Singletary go at it?
Yes, that's what I said. I said that's the one reason. If you're going to, I mean, Troy Smith's got, he's got some talent. No, obviously a Heisman Trophy winner. The guy can play. Don't misunderstand me. He's not what you'd consider a full-time career starter at quarterback, but I will tell you my favorite thing about him is he's got big balls in Cowtown, my man. Is it, like I've said on this show a million times, D-man, respect is one thing, but I'm a grown man. And if you're a head coach going to dress me down, not insubordinate, but you better understand that I'm going to tell you on the flip side exactly what's going on and why I feel this way too. You're not going to embarrass me, and that's the problem with Singletary. And I love Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike goes overboard. Mike goes way overboard. We all do, but Mike's done it time and time again. And Troy Smith had enough. He's competing. He's trying to win a game, trying to keep the team in the hunt, trying to do all he can. And that, you know what? That's the one thing that's going to allow him to survive in the league, dude.
What happened when they scored a touchdown? When he pulled them, they scored a touchdown. He was the first one out on the field, shaking their hands, high-fiving the players. And I was like, what is Donovan right now? Because I don't see that from Donovan.
Yes, and that's, of course you will. You don't see it from Romo either. You don't see it from Tony either. That's exactly why a guy like Troy Smith, seen it, and you've heard players in the past talk about it. In Baltimore, players loved him. There's a personality there. The players, I mean, you heard Ray and those guys talking about it. They like Troy. And now he's in San Francisco. The players like him. But you got to find a coach that'll deal with the fire, and I like it. So there's a spot on the roster at a quarterback for that guy. Whether it's, you know, and you know what? He's always going to get passed over if they draft a first-round pick or go get a veteran starter. He's going to be in that same position where he's a backup, and when he comes in, we'll do a nice job. But you know what? I give the guy huge credit for having the balls to say, no, dude, not today. I'm trying to win a game just like you. But when I'm not on the field, I'm still going to step up and root my teammates on because that's what I get paid to do, is to be a 53-man roster and to take care of my business like I'm supposed to every week. So you're damn right I did it. But that's what's wrong with this. So you think about this right now. You don't think that the DeBartolo family, Eddie D, and then the Carmen Policy are in Cleveland or wherever they're living right now aren't pulling their hair out watching this once-proud franchise take an ass-whooping and be one of the laughing stocks of the NFL?
It just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense what happened in San Francisco. You know, they came up really fast, and they went down pretty fast.
They sure did. Same people you went pass down on the way up, you quickly go by on the way down. See, I would go back and get the Dwight Clarks or Ronnie Lotts. I would beg those guys to get more involved in the organization. I really would.
Well, see, let me ask you a question about that, because most of the, when you start talking about dynasties, like you start talking about the Dallas Cowboys, you see the former Dallas Cowboys players around. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you see them around. The Philadelphia Eagles, really, you see them around. On the great teams, you see them around, the teams that built the dynasty. But that's one thing about San Francisco. They're so flighty in California, you don't see them around.
And you want to know why? Because you know what? Mr. DeBartolo used to take, like when he'd have it, I remember one time, who was telling me this story? Roger Craig. When Roger was my teammate, the great running back, my teammate in Minnesota, the Joe and I think Dwight Clark and Roger and maybe Ronnie Lott or something, that the Mr. DeBartolo would fly him on his private plane out there during an off day or during an off season, and they'd fly out to like his daughter's birthday party and just be, I mean, he used to fly, do special things for them. There was a special, they liked hanging around each other. There was a special camaraderie on the football team with that ownership, and it was not, wasn't just during the season. Mr. DeBartolo made them feel like they were all part of that good Italian family. And you know what? The York family makes them feel like they don't belong. That's why. They have, it's like a football coach that come in. Let's say if you're the head coach at, you know, you were Bo Schembechler at Michigan. And then all of a sudden they bring a guy in outside the program who doesn't understand the Michigan tradition and leaves people away from the sidelines and doesn't give ex-players tickets and doesn't treat them like they belong, and then all of a sudden you start to fall off. That happened at USC, and I'm gonna tell you this right now. When John Robinson was there, you saw celebrities on the sideline, people coming up all the time. John loved it. And for a long time, they didn't know how to do it. And this is no disrespect, but Paul Hackett, who'd been there, God rest his soul, Larry Smith, who passed away, and Ted Toler, when I was there, they didn't understand that tradition. And then the alumni, that the alumni almost felt like if we went back that we were doing, that we were putting them out to ask for tickets or sideline passes, which is complete bullshit. Well, Pete Carroll comes in, one of the great, Pete, Snoop Dogg and Will Ferrell and Denzel Washington, I mean, you name it, Henry Winkler. I mean, you go up and down there, there's more celebrities at that doggone thing than there is in Hall of Famers than there is at the Oscars and the Emmy Awards. So, the Grammy Awards. So, what Pete did is he said, you know what, and former players were always welcome, sideline passes, games, in the locker room. He made it to the point where everybody felt like, you know what, we got to get this Trojan tradition back. And there was no mistake. I mean, not saying that that was the reason, but it sure helped in that feel-good feeling. And unfortunately, in San Francisco now, they're going about it in that way. That you're not. And one thing that Al Davis does, whether you like him or not, all former Raiders are heroes. They're all welcome. In San Francisco, that's why those guys aren't around, is because there's not a feeling of, man, are we allowed? Can I walk into the complex? Can I not do it? So you must have a feeling, a sense of why the hell the 49ers were built into a special team was those very guys who don't seem to be welcome back enough. And that's exactly why they have to fix it. And the truth of the matter is, until the ownership starts to pull their head out of their tight wound round ass, they're not going to be back until they do that.
Gotcha. Look at Green Bay. We called Green Bay, and Green Bay's coming up out of the gutter. Look at them. Everybody thought they were dead.
Hey, and you know what?
For real.
And I'm gonna hit that, and we'll try to get it in today. If not, we'll finish up all my divisions tomorrow. But D-Man, you take a look at that Green Bay Packer team. What do they have? What do they have that all great teams have? About two or three different things. One, great fans, but a quarterback that's a playmaker, a disruptor on defense, defensive MVP Clay Matthews, and a team that does not stay down. They overcome injuries, right? They're not excuse makers. They didn't blame the fact that, you know, that Al Harris was hurt and we cut him. He's hurt and this guy's hurt and that guy's hurt. Our starting running back's hurt. You don't hear excuses. And this team, even though they lose, they don't sit themselves back and say, you know what? Aaron got hurt. We got beat. The Patriots, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we're going to pout again for another week. What they do is they don't let it fester long. And that's why, come playoff team, you know what the NFL did? They sure as hell don't want the Green Bay Packers. They want the Bears to win next week. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because the Green Bay Packers are dangerous because they got that one player on that offensive side of the ball that's capable of carrying them through a three-game run in the playoffs.
Man, I've been saying that all year. This is the most underrated, flying below the radar, damn good team. If they'd have been healthy all year, they probably would have had home field advantage.
They'd be 12-4, 13-3 right now. There's no question in my mind. And you know what? When you think about this, we give Peyton Manning and Tom Brady all the credit in the world, as we should. Ben Roethlisberger for buying time and making big throws. We give, you know, Phillip Rivers for being a great pocket passer and a leader. But I want you to combine accuracy. I want you to combine great feet. I want you to combine a guy who's overcome big shoes to fill and who plays great under pressure. And I want you to find me all around and consist a better quarterback in the league than number 12 in Green Bay. With all the, I'm talking about the whole thing. There's better throwers. There's guys with stronger arms. Michael Vick's a better runner. Mike's more accurate now, but not as accurate as Aaron. Mm-hmm. I want you to find me who's got all those qualities better. Matt Ryan's a hell of a player, but he can't run like Aaron. Find me one who's all around better than number 12 in Green Bay, can you?
No, and I'll tell you the one thing. The guy's got touch that is so nice. I mean, the win yesterday could have been worse than what it was because Jones drops a touchdown pass towards late in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Out in the flat. So it could have been worse than it was. And this is the guy that was coming off his second concussion.
Yeah, okay, and so he's got a helmet, goes out there, and he's also proved that he's tough. I got a concussion. I really could probably take another week off, but hell no, we're in play. We got to cut it loose. I got to play. This team needs me. And there, and you make a great point. At Cal, you know what they said about him when he left? Why he fell so far? Well, we don't know if his arm strength's good. He's got great touch and great accuracy, but, well, look what that's done. You just hit it. The touch and the accuracy to allow the ball, when he needs to zip it, he's got all the arm you need. He's great on the run. Great rolling to his left, great rolling to his right. And when he needs to make a touch throw, there may not be any better in the league at doing it. So you could say, you could tell me all you want, but when you talk about every single quality that a quarterback needs to be great in this league, he's got it.
Yeah, he's got it. And I'll say this, can you imagine that guy with the running game? Can you imagine that guy with like an Adrian Peterson behind him?
Let me
can
tell
you imagine
something.
That guy?
D-Man, he will be the MVP in this league in the next couple years. He will win an MVP award.
Absolutely.
Because
if you're the Green Bay Packers.
Yep. Appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you and heading into the new year. We'll speak to you this week.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Love him. Love him. 888-346-9144. Let's finish up the Redskins here now in the East. The Redskins, a coach that I went through it. This is a dysfunctional organization. Shanahan's not getting fired because he's been able to, you know, I confess, point four fingers at somebody else but not point the thumb at himself. As disliked a coach on all levels as there is in the league. Is he good? Yeah, Mike knows X's and O's. Always has. Mike knows X's and O's. He knows X's and O's a lot less with Rex Grossman than he does with John Elway. Daniel Snyder will spend the money, but Daniel Snyder has no football sense. And they don't know for one second it's Vinny Serrato, the next. They don't know who they want to hire. They have no clue. Heck, they may hire Jim Zorn to come back after this year. So, clueless. Okay? Clueless. The Redskins are clueless. Good players. Incredible fans. Incredible fans. Great tradition. You think Jack Kent Cook's not rolling over in his grave looking at this crap that they're putting on the field? Oh, yeah, they won yesterday. Don't misunderstand me. They're not going anywhere. The Redskins won. 6-9 may end up 7-9. I don't even know who they play next week, nor do I care. But let's see who Washington plays. Next week, the Redskins play, host the Giants. Host the Giants. Well, we'll see if the Giants are as big, plays like pussies like they did yesterday, or if they show up and want to beat the brains out and head to the offseason feeling good, or if they don't care anymore, if they want to assure that Tom Coughlin gets fired. But Shanahan's job's safe because they paid him too much money and it's only been 1 year. And Mike has every excuse in the book. Fans, you deserve better in D.C. You deserve better. And I'll tell you what, a scouting department or a front office that really has gone out and spent more on free agents and got less production than any team in the last 10 years. I mean, you think about all the free agents and draft picks that they bought in and paid high. Brandon Lloyd, not even there anymore. Antron Randle L, not even there. You go there, you go there to, for your career to die. Haynesworth, McNabb, you go there for your career to die, not to get better. You go there for your career to die. And you know what? Great secondary play. They've got some really good talent. But like I said, Mike Shanahan hasn't taken the ordinary and made it extraordinary. He's taken good and made it ordinary, as have the players. And then finally, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll hit them, too, when we get back. See, we got about another. I'll be able to get through the South and the North as quickly as possible. So we'll finish the NFC today. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I think we've well documented them all year long. And we'll finish documenting them when we get back. There's a lot more that needs to be done in Dallas than you think, folks. And a lot of different positions. And they're in that tweener position as a draft team. They're going to be like 6th or 7th. They're going to get their ass kicked by Philly. They're going to be in that, let's say they're the 6th team or 7th team. They're not going to get that number one quarterback, but they're going to be in a position for a good offensive lineman. You know, a top 10 pick, but you don't know what you're going to get. So we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys and what needs done there for a team. Is as overrated a team going into a season as we predicted in a long time. But I did tell you that they weren't that good at the beginning of the season. You guys disagreed, and they're going to be doing just what I am on Super Bowl Sunday, getting paid to talk about it somewhere else. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day on the radio and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. Excited, not only excited about this show, but the fact that the Inside Sports Show that will air, at least the pilot show on Versus, the name will be Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Press release and come out now, so we're changing the name, which I like. It'll be what I do on this radio show on national television, and hopefully it'll be a huge hit. And with hardcore sports, a few laughs, but doing what nobody else on TV is doing. And in your face, get fans involved, get a great sidekick, and mix it with comedy and humor. It's not going to be TMZ where we're smut. We'll have some laughs, but we're not going to laugh at somebody's expense, but we're going to have fun and be hardcore. And we're not going to have somebody tell us we can't say what we want to say. Combine Howard Stern, you know, I wish it was a five-year contract for $500 million. Combine what I did at ESPN, combine with getting a celebrity or a guest guy every week that'll battle with me like John Clayton did. And maybe my sidekick will be a guy similar to that or a female similar to that. That also, we have a segment each week on the national show where we get after it and challenge like a PTI. It'll be a great hit, folks, because this is what people want. And I don't just mean it because me. I like to think I'm good at my career and my job, but I think people will go through the roof on it. Some will throw the roof because they're mad because you criticize their team. Some will love you because they're happy because you talk it. But athletes will want to come on. Celebrities will want to come on. Players may, you know, disagree at times, but they'll still respect it. So we'll do what nobody does, hardcore sports year-round, getting after it with some laughs on the side. So Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, coming to TV. Coming to TV. And eventually this show is going to be simulcast on the, as far as where we can YouTube a segment every single day, but right here on Voice America Sports. But also for national television, put on a coat and tie, and I'll get after it. And I've always wanted to try and build a brand, although I'm not, don't misunderstand me, I'm not a big name, but I'm trying to be, and trying to be, give you guys what you want. And it really is for the fans, because the fans drive it. Advertisers and all that are great. It's how you get your salary paid. But I want to walk off there an hour show once a week, and maybe I get to the point where we're doing it three times a week, who knows, but at least an hour show once a week where it's hardcore in-your-face sports with some laughs and getting people involved, giveaways, all of it, so we can go on there and get ratings through the roof so people love watching it. Because you know what? The sports networks aren't exactly the end-all. There's also other – there's room for this, and we don't have it on TV. We just don't. And I'd like to be the guy who pioneered that. When I say pioneered, I'm talking about at least give it where fans go home in a water cooler and saying, damn, did you hear what he said? Or, yeah, he's right, or, damn, he's wrong. I want to be a guest on that show, and it'll be awesome. So I'm excited. So the Inside Sports is going to change its name to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered, coming to a TV, a national TV near you. So throw tomatoes or throw flowers or throw panties. I'll take them all. And I may not say the tomatoes or the flowers, but the panties can be considered. Just no boxer briefs, fellas. All right, let's finish up here when we talk about is this my – Chad, you're on there. Is this the – yeah, this is the last segment of the show. Okay, so we'll – until we tee it up tomorrow. So let's roll through the rest of the NFC. Dallas needs help. Quarterback coming off an injury. Tony's there. You know what? Let me throw this out to you. If you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're the sixth pick and there's a guy sitting at and let's say there's a person sitting at second or third that you got a guy you want, would you trade Tony Romo to trade up for a quarterback? Would you trade Tony Romo to the Cincinnati Bengals for Carson Palmer straight up? Carson's not old. Tony's not old. Both in the primes of their careers. Would you trade if you're the Dallas Cowboys or if the Cincinnati Bengals? Would you make that trade? Would you trade Tony to a team like the Minnesota Vikings to get another first-round pick? Is he worth a first-round pick? Just saying. Is Tony going to be able to ever get anybody past the 10-6 playoff record and a berth in the playoffs, but any further than that? Is he? Don't know if they can go farther. But you know what? He's worth a high pick. Somebody will do it. Well, if you're the Cowboys, do you do that? Or would you package Romo and another player to move up and try to be able to get the first or second pick of the draft? If you're the first pick of the draft and you need a quarterback, hell no. You're not gonna trade Andrew Luck away if Luck's coming out as a redshirt sophomore. So if Luck's coming out, would you do that? No. But the first pick of the draft, Carolina, well, they drafted Jimmy Clausen, and he's obviously not the future. So Carolina does need a franchise quarterback. So are they gonna draft him if he comes out? Probably. But let's say it was some other team, and let's say the Carolina's dumb enough to think that they've got a franchise quarterback, which they don't, on their roster, and Carolina's going to get the first pick. So if Andrew Luck came out, you'd do it. But if it was like a team like a Detroit or a Denver or a Cincinnati or a Buffalo, you know, some teams may not think they need the first pick of the draft as a quarterback. So they may be willing to trade down to get another quarterback and another player. Interesting. But the Cowboys need to shore up and get better. Their wide receiver's probably their strength, tight end. Running game, Barber won't be there. They've got to get better at it and the commitment to it. Offensive line sucks. Defensive line has a potential to be really good. And I'm putting DeMarcus Ware as kind of a defensive end, stand up in a 3-4, put his hand on the ground either way. Linebackers, you know, wholesale changes, and the secondary wholesale changes. A lot needs to be done in Dallas. I would give Jason Garrett a look. I think Jason Garrett, they've been in every game. Even though they've lost, they've been in every game since he's taken over. And Jerry can still control Jason Garrett. He doesn't have to give it up to a Gruden or a Cower. And Jerry will announce it during the week of the Super Bowl just so Dallas Cowboys get pubbed for a game they're not playing in. Jerry's the genius marketer. Cowboys need a lot of change. Everybody said, well, they're not far away. Well, they're a talented team, but everybody highly overrated their talent. I didn't believe it was that good, and it isn't. There's some really talented players. But when your best two players on the team, one's a defensive guy, DeMarcus Ware, the other one is your rookie wide receiver. And it's, trust me, he is the best offensive player the Cowboys have. And it, to be honest with you, I don't think it's close. He's better than Romo as your offensive player. He's better than Miles Austin as your offensive player. Jason Witten's probably your second best offensive player. So the Cowboys need a lot of changes. This is that there's a reason that they're going to end up 5-11, because Philadelphia will kick that ass. There's a reason. And it comes down to players on the field. They're not that good. So there'll be changes there. There'll be a new head coach there. There's an interim coach now. There will be a new head coach. My gut tells me Jason Garrett is going to be the head coach with the Dallas Cowboys, although Jerry Jones loves Jeff Fisher. And if Jason isn't the head coach in Dallas, I believe that somebody else will hire him as a head coach after what he's done to the Cowboys. And he had an opportunity a couple years ago to be a head coach at a couple other places. I believe the Cowboys, if they don't hire Jason Garrett as the head coach, he won't stick around as the forced offensive coordinator that Jerry tells him to. But he will go and be a head coach somewhere else. I think he's earned that right, and I believe he will. And I believe he's got there's an it about Jason Garrett. I think he's got it. Now, I don't know if he's got it in the terms of Bill Cowher, but he's got it to be a head coach. But if Jeff Fisher comes available, Jerry Jones loves Jeff Fisher. Don't be surprised if Jerry can be turned on a dime to go out and try to get a guy like Jeff Fisher. But the Cowboys will have a new full-time head coach without an interim basis. I think Jason Garrett will get the first look. This is not a good football team. We got to roll through the rest of the NFC so we can get through it today. The Chicago Bears, you know what? I've been a very critical of Jay Cutler. And at times yesterday, he looked like the pussy Jay Cutler. But then other times, gosh, his arm's so good. He's got the best arm in the league. I've said that all year long. And he's starting to show me more guts, a little bit more fire. And I like the way, if the Cutler I see battling back and throwing three touchdown passes, the Cutler Chicago gets, Chicago's got a chance to advance in the playoffs. Defense will force turnovers. Peppers will disrupt. The Matt Forte can run. I still, the receivers are good, and Cutler can make you look really good because he's got such a great arm. But I just got to see if he holds up under pressure. But I've been critical of the Bears. I've been critical. They're not going to change coaches, obviously. I've been critical of it. Mike Martz has been great as an offensive coordinator for them. And you know what? Just as much as I've criticized Cutler, instead of going into the tank and pointing fingers the last 6 weeks of the season or so, Cutler stepped his game up. Now, he reverted back against New England, but he hasn't stayed down long. So I'm impressed with the way he's battled back. This looks like the Cutler when he first came out of Vanderbilt that wanted to compete and battle in Denver. That's the Cutler I liked. And this is the Cutler that's shown up. So I give Jay a lot of credit. Like I said, it was never anything personal. I just didn't like his guts. And you know what? He's showing me more. So Chicago's in a pretty good position at 11-4. They got to battle Green Bay to try and get to 12-4. It's going to be a tough one on the road. But Jay Cutler and Aaron Rodgers, hell of a battle next week. But the Bears' defense is good. They're still going to have to get a little youth and stay healthy. There's still a few changes they got to make, but they're in a position. I think they need a home run hitter at wide receiver. I think they need to just step that up one notch. Good tight end. They can build on Olsen. Forte's a really good, versatile running back. You know, you can always get help on the offensive line. They need that. They need to shore that up a little, especially with Mike Martz, who leaves the quarterback unprotected at times because he's got big balls. Meaning the coordinator, he'll leave the quarterback unprotected. And as quick as Cutler's release is and strong his arm is, I understand why he does it at times, but they're going to need a little help up front. But they're pretty much staying there. Green Bay, not a lot of changes. Got to get the running game healthy and back. Defense is building. They're a hell of a defense with Dom Capers. They can play. And they'll get after it. They'll pressure you. Clay Matthews is the MVP. Again, offensive line help. But you got a quarterback who's got such a great release. They just got to get Finley healthy. Jennings is a hell of a player, wide receiver. Driver's consistent. They've got all that set of, they go four deep at wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, Jones, and they just got to get a running back healthy, and this team will be a Super Bowl contender for a while. Minnesota Vikings, a lot of changes. I think Leslie Frazier, I think Tony Dungy will push it. I think you're going to see the Minnesota Vikings give Leslie Frazier a hard look, but if in fact the Vikings get killed by lose this game, and then all of a sudden turn around and lose the final game of the season in bad fashion. And they're going to make the excuse that it's the quarterback, that we haven't been healthy, too many changes, beat up. And I get that. I get that. But if they go out and lay an egg for 2 weeks in a row and they're at Detroit, which could happen next week after this Philadelphia game on Tuesday, that Leslie may not stay the head coach. There may be too much enticement to go out and get a Jeff Fisher or a John Gruden or somebody who's out there. And the Vikings is a great job because you've got some really good players, some stars on defense, hellified wide receivers with big play potential, the best running back along with Chris Johnson in the league. So you really got something to build on, and they'll go find a quarterback, whether it's McNabb. I would actually go after Carson Palmer before I'd go after McNabb, or they're going to draft a big timer that's going to start as a rookie. Their current quarterback for the future is not on that roster, but man alive, that is a great job. Like the Giants, that's a team that's a player or two away. If they play good the last two games, like Jason Garrett, I think Leslie Frazier gets a hard long look. But if they throw, you know, pee down their leg, don't be surprised if the Minnesota Vikings decide to go elsewhere and clean full house and try to get somebody else in there. That could very easily happen. I'm not as secure with Leslie Frazier in Minnesota as I am with Jason Garrett in Dallas. Detroit, not a lot of change. Just got to get more veteran. Get your quarterback healthy in Stafford. They can run it with Best. They've got big play wide receiver. They got a defense that's young and growing. They've got a head coach in Jim Schwartz who's done a hell of a job. A front office that finally starts to get it. They finally got rid of Matt, and they got a front office that gets it. They've got good fans. The fan base is coming back. They crave a winner there. And you know what? There's as much excitement in Detroit, not as much, but the excitement's starting to come back like it did when Barry Sanders was there. This team plays their ass off. If you're looking for hard play, Schwartz comes from the Jeff Fisher school. Doesn't matter what the consequences or circumstances, we're going to fight every single week. I think Detroit's going to be a playoff contender next year. In the South, Atlanta, what do you want me to tell you? They're the most understated great football team in the league. On defense, you don't know Mike Mularkey's their offensive coordinator, understated. Head coach Mike Smith, not a lot of credit. Hell, why can't we start to consider him for coach of the year? You know, a team that plays defense, big play wide receiver, star quarterback, star running back, not flashy, doesn't get a lot of credit. The most underrated 12-2 team that I've ever seen. Nobody even talks about them. New Orleans Saints, got to get more physical. So Atlanta's going to continue to be good, and you got a star quarterback. With Drew Brees, they battled back. This team had a hangover for most of the season, but they're still 10-4. They got a huge game tonight. They're more than likely going to end up probably 11-5. And this team's going to be in the playoffs. This team's going to give everybody all they can handle because they've got what it takes. An offensive head coach that'll call plays and put you in position, put you in an environment to confuse you. So their coaching staff's intact. They've got to have Reggie healthy for a full season. I still think that they can go get a big pounding back. They need another Deuce McAllister back there. Receivers are good, accurate quarterback. Still got to get more physical on defense. And still got to get more physical up front. That's what they need to do. The best finesse team in football when they're on is the New Orleans Saints. It's like the Rams back in the greatest show on turf. Best finesse team in football. But in order to continue to sustain this, they must get more physical. And then in Tampa and Carolina, well, Tampa, man, Josh Freeman is Dante Culpepper and maybe better, maybe more of an accurate thrower. Boy, throws, what, 5 touchdowns yesterday? The kid just keeps getting better. And talk about a team that has got a good, has infused some youth into their team, but also has a good mix of the guys like Rondé Barber. I really like this team. I really like them. I really do. And they've shocked me this year, completely shocked me by their poise, their ability to win the games late, their ability to, when they got you down, to kick you in the mouth. I really like what they're doing. Front office right on down. Tampa's got it going on, folks. And again, as I'll continue to stress, look at the reason why. You got a guy that you drafted, in the teens, I think. Was he 17 or 18? I don't even know, Josh Freeman. You've got a superstar quarterback who's come along so much quicker than I think we all expected. But a raw talent that's starting to actually not just be a talent, he's a quarterback. He's not a thrower, he's a pitcher. I mean, he's doing it. Man, what a great feeling it must be in Tampa to know that you've got a chance. And in that division with Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa, that's going to be as deep a division as there is, because Carolina's not going to stay down long. Too good of an area. They'll get in, and John Fox, guys, and so there you have it. We know that the Tampa's growing, and I like it, and it's going to build around a special, special football player at quarterback. Now, you look at Carolina, and the last one of the NFC. Unfortunately, John Fox is going to get a raw deal because they don't have players. And John Fox, don't be shocked. He'll be a defensive coordinator somewhere next year, but don't be shocked if somehow, some way, one of these teams interviews and gives John Fox a legitimate look as a head coach. He's the best 2-13, going to end up 2-14 head coach in this league. John Fox, and players love him and respect him, and he's respected in all courses across, all 8-meal courses across the NFL. John Fox can coach, but they've got their quarterback awful at that position. Clawson won't be in the league long. You're not a player. Steve Smith probably won't be. He's packing up and selling his house. He probably won't be in Carolina. They've got a good running game. They've got to be able to stop you more on defense, and the truth is their offense doesn't scare anybody. They've got to go offense, 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 offense in the draft and in free agency and try to get four or five guys that can change the course of that team immediately. But John Fox will be out. So in the NFC North, there's not going to be any coaching changes other than maybe Minnesota. And in the NFC South, no coaching changes other than in Carolina, where John Fox will be out, but he'll be a coach somewhere. That's a good football coach. But talent needs to come back in there. So remember, find me on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered, 140 characters or less. Tell me why you deserve the two Super Bowl tickets for life. You got 5 days to do it. Spread the word to your friends. We'll come back tomorrow, hit the AFC. A lot going on. We went through the NFC. Ohio State, you ought to be thanking your lucky stars your players are playing in this game. This is a great week leading into the bowl games. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered, and we're coming to you to a national TV soon. Have a great day, folks. Have a great day. Happy holidays. We've got the tweener week heading into the new year, and I'm excited about 2011. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. We'll see you tomorrow. Monday Night Football, Atlanta, New Orleans. I'm taking Atlanta at home. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.